uno.
So we come to the fourth in our series of day by day with the Lord.
And we've looked at daily grace, his grace to us morning by morning, new mercies we see, as it were. We looked at daily worship, and we've looked at daily bread and daily prayer last week. Today is daily meditation, and next week the last in this series, our daily responsibility. Today we've just got one verse,
and we are going to be looking at some other scriptures.
They're almost all on the screen, I think. But if you'd like a Bible, Anne's way down there with an armful. So if you'd like to take one, please raise your hand and she'll have one for you. So, Joshua 1, verse 8.
Do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and
successful. About 20 years ago now, seems like yesterday, we just finished 4 years at Spurgeon's College, and a church had asked me to become their minister, Baptist minister, just up the road here in Warwick. And at the end of those 4 years, there's a farewell service to all those students who are leaving. And each student has about 2 minutes to read a meaningful verse and to say a few words. Which makes the service really long, because there's at least sort of 30 students, and it just goes on for ages and ages and ages. But it's quite interesting to see then the verses that the Lord has given to students as they're leaving. There's quite a lot about trusting in the Lord and you will do mighty works, that kind of thing. There is I remember one or two about them being God's workmanship, to do the good works that the Lord has prepared in advance for them to do. I remember the one about being chosen. I have chosen you to bear fruit. Those kind of things are the verses that people come up with. And three of us chose Joshua 1 verse 9, not verse 8. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Perhaps sensing that ministry in Warwick was going to be really tough. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged. I will be with you wherever you go. I think there was three of us chose that verse. What does that say about some of the people who were trained then? I'm fairly sure that no one chose Joshua 1 verse 8 as their verse. And yet looking back over 20 years now of ministry, and looking back on this week of reflection just at this verse, I just wonder actually whether this is more appropriate to all our lives and all our ministries than anything else we might have chosen. The context, of course, for this verse is that the people of God have been brought out of slavery in Egypt. They've been brought to the River Jordan. They've had a look over, sent a few spies out and gone, ooh, no, don't think so. And then they've been condemned to 40 years wandering in the wilderness until that generation of people die out, including Moses, their leader. And now Joshua has been appointed by God as their leader to take them into the promised land. And the first 9 verses of Joshua here is a bit like the manager's team talk before the FA Cup final. Do you know what I mean? Come on, lads. Come on. We can do this. We are going to do this. This is our day. This is what we're going to achieve. And the first 5 verses read like this. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' assistant, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people, get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I'm about to give them to the Israelites. I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses.
And then there's verse 6 to 9, which begins, "Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their forefathers to give them." I don't know whether you know anything about Hebrew language structure. This is where you can just nod off just for a moment, right? But I'll wake you up in a few minutes. But it's quite interesting because there's a language structure called a chiasm. And it's used often to make an important point. And you'll recognize it if you're reading through the Bible and you find a verse that says something. And then a verse or two later it says the same thing. Here's one of those Hebrew structures called a chiasm that Ian was talking about. And you'll find that in between that line that says something and that line that says the same, there's another line or two or three, which is the important point. The two things on the outside are flagging up, watch, listen, and the bit in the middle is the important point. Now, there's two different sorts of chiasms. Ah, forget that. Right, there's a 5.1, where you've got the bit at the top and bottom, which says something like, for instance, God loves you. You've got the bit in the middle, he is faithful. Then again, it'll be repeated at B, he is faithful. And then the bit right in the middle is you are special. So the point you're to make from that is that you are special. And you'll know this because God is faithful to you. And you know this because God loves you. But then there's a 4-point chiasm, right? Which is God loves you, for example, God loves you. And the bit in the middle is just there, often just twice said, he is faithful, he is faithful. And this is one of these 4-point chiasms here, this verses 6 through to verses 9. Be strong and courageous. It begins in verse 6 and 7, and it ends in verse 9 with be strong and courageous. So you know, let's check out the bits in the middle. And the bits in the middle say, obey the law and meditate on it day and night. But they also say something else. They also say, if you want to be successful, if you want to be successful in the job I'm going to give you, if you want to be successful in entering into the promised land, because that's attached to both these middle verses, then obey the law and meditate on it day and night. You see, the Lord's saying to Joshua, if you want success, if you want to prosper in everything that I've got for you, if you want to make the most of this promised land adventure, because you didn't think being successful meant a 42-inch flat-screen TV and an Audi R8, did you, by the way, when you read these verses? You didn't think that, did you? This is about what the Lord has for you. If you want to be successful in what the Lord has for you, then hear this. Be strong and courageous, for I, the Lord, will be with you. And just where you expect, and you'll need to practice your sword skills, and you'll need to get fit, and you'll need to hone up on your battle strategy, because that's what's going to happen over the next few years. What we actually find is, be obedient to my laws and my ways, Ten Commandments. And how? By meditating on my law day and night. And it's through this, by meditating on my law day and night, that you will find fulfillment in the work that the Lord has called you to do. And it's not an isolated verse. This is a constant theme in Scripture. And here's just a few, right? And I know you might think, oh, Ian, come on. But it's just throughout Scripture. Deuteronomy 6, verses 5 to 9. So actually, written before this, or at least recorded before this, to Moses, these commandments that I give you today are to be upon your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. In other words, at all times, day and night. Tie these words as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on your door frames of your houses and on your gates. Wherever you go, take these words with you. Psalm 1, this is David, isn't it? To David, blessed is the one whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. We could have used this psalm just as easily this morning. He is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever he does, prospers. Psalm 119, a whole psalm dedicated to the word of God. And in fact, 23 stanzas to it, which is one for each letter of the Hebrew alphabet. It's just centered around the word of God. And two gems, verse 11, I've hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Shall I just read that again? I've hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. And your word is a lamp to my feet and a light for my path. Job, besieged by problems in his life. And what does he say in response to his friends who were trying to tell him to book his ideas up? I've treasured the words of his mouth, the Lord's mouth, more than my daily bread. And into the New Testament, on the words of Jesus as he's been tested and tempted by the devil. It's written, man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. And then to the Pharisees, if you hold to my teaching, you're really my disciples. Then you will know the truth. The truth is his words, and the truth will set you free. Paul, then, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish each other with all wisdom. Let the word of Christ dwell in you.
Not sure how many have got to go.
One more. And James, the man, the one who looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom, and continues to do this, not forgetting what he has heard, but doing it, will be blessed in what he does. So here's the theme for today. This is the what for this morning. It's about the need to meditate on God's word daily. And just really quite briefly, we're going to look at the why and the how. So why do we need to meditate on God's word? Well, I think there's two elements to this. And that is what we're like as human beings, and contrasted then with what God's word is like, what scripture is like. What are we like as human beings? You know, are we chameleons who are keen to fit into their surroundings? Who take on board, if you like, the surrounding culture, perhaps become like a leaf. The only times I've tried to, when you watch these programs and they try to show you how they change colour to match the background, it never works. So whether it's actually true or an urban myth or not, I don't know. But that one looks a bit like a leaf, doesn't it? Are we like chameleons, perhaps, where we try to blend in with the general prevailing culture around us and then as a sponge, perhaps, soak all that in. We soak in popular culture. We drink in prevailing trends and values. Perhaps a more biblical image is of the potter's hands and the clay. We, as human beings, are malleable, aren't we? We can be squeezed and moulded easily into shape. And the key is, you know, who is our potter? What do we allow ourselves to be moulded by? What forces control the shape that we become? In the early days of computer programming, there was this GIGO, GIGO, wasn't it? Garbage in and garbage out. In other words, you couldn't expect a computer to churn out good stuff, to be well programmed, if the programmer wasn't up to the job. And if you put duff stuff in, then duff stuff came out. Jesus had another picture of that, didn't he? You know, you can't get good fruit from a bad tree. Garbage in, garbage out. And the same is true with us. And you see, we're already disadvantaged, aren't we? Because actually, we have a basic flaw in that we're fallen and sinful people. And even with that flaw then, so often we open ourselves up to wrong influences that have power to shape us and to mould this clay. And what are those influences? Well, sometimes it's the friends we keep and the advice we take. And I say this perhaps particularly to any young people out there. There's a few of you around. No, there's loads of you around, really, but particularly young people. But there's just so much in the way of wrong thinking out there, or thinking out there that's against the spirit and the practice of God's word. It's just so easy to fall into the ways of the world through the friends that you keep, who don't understand, who just go with the flow.
I've forgotten who it was an actress this week who said, it's only dead fish that go with the flow. I heard that when I woke up one morning on the radio. Do you know, you need to be aware that to go with the flow isn't always the right thing to do, because we need to go with the flow of God's word, which often speaks against the ways of the world. And sometimes that's through the friends we keep, and sometimes through the advice we take from those friends. You need to be discerning about that kind of thing. Sometimes it's the stuff we read and what we watch on the TV. And I know some of you watch EastEnders, and I used to watch it often, because the leader of the Baptist Union, the president one year, said, we ought to be watching EastEnders because we need to see what other people are watching to keep up with that kind of thing. So I started watching it faithfully, but not for long. Because they say it's the everyday story of everyday folk. And when complaints are made, they say they're just reflecting real life and how it is out there. Which may be true to an extent, but actually they're only reflecting the extremes of life out there. And as those extremes come over and over and over and over again, they become the norm for society. Programmes like EastEnders, I'm afraid to say, have the power to shape people's life. Not just reflect life, but actually to shape people's lives. To set value boundaries, examples of how to live and what to expect. It's garbage in and it's garbage out. Rick Warren, you probably heard of him, he wrote Purpose Driven Life, says this: troubles occur because we base our choices on unreliable authorities, perhaps on culture. We say, well, everyone's doing it, therefore it's okay, isn't it? Perhaps on tradition. But we've always done it this way. What's the problem? Perhaps on reason. Well, it seemed logical at the time. Or perhaps on emotion. You know, it just felt good to do it. If it feels good, do it. But he adds, all four of these are flawed by the fall. Garbage in and garbage out. What we need then is godly input. And that's where Scripture, the Bible, the Word of God comes into its own. And you can contrast all we've just said about us and our weaknesses and so on with what Scripture actually is. Because it's not just words on a page. These are some of the things that Scripture says about itself. What God says about Scripture through the pages of Scripture. For the Word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. You've been here, haven't you? You've read something from Scripture and suddenly you're convicted about something. As you read Scripture, it's reading you. Second Timothy 3:15 and 17. From infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise to salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is God breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting and training in righteousness, so that the person of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good word. We've seen this one already, haven't we? If you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. It's more than just words on a page. This is God's word to you, his living word to you and to me. In various places, the Bible is described like a four-course meal. It's described as milk in 1 Peter 2, verse 2. It's described as bread in Matthew 4, 4 on Jesus' lips. It's described as solid food by the writer to the Hebrews. It's something they need to go on to, having started on the milk of the word. Dessert, it's honey, sweeter than honey on my lips. Your word is sweeter than honey on my lips. A four-course meal that will not only keep you in good shape, it's like your five a day to keep your body in good shape. This is the four a day, isn't it? That will not only keep your body in good shape, but actually satisfy our souls. Rick Warren again. The Word of God generates life, creates faith, produces change, frightens the devil, causes miracles, heals hurts, builds character, transforms circumstances, imparts joy, overcomes adversity, defeats temptation, infuses hope, releases power, cleanses minds, brings things into being and guarantees our future.
He says, we cannot live without the word of God. Never take it for granted. You should consider it as essential to your life as food.
D.L. Moody, a bit more succinctly, said, the Bible was not given to improve our knowledge, but to change our lives.
So that's the why we should meditate. Why? Because we're easily shaped, you and I. What we need, therefore, is the Bible to shape us as God intended. It's that verse from Psalm 1, isn't it? You know, if you meditate on his word day and night, you're like trees by streams of water, whose fruit is there in every season, whose leaves never wither. So how? How do we meditate?
Again, Rick Warren said, you can tell I've read this book this week, if you know how to worry, then you know how to meditate. Because worry is focusing on negative things. And we do that a lot, don't we? We go over and over it in our mind and we worry about, you know, what might happen or what might not happen and that kind of thing. We worry about these things. And meditation is only actually going over in your mind, focusing on your mind, on good things, on words of Scripture. It goes without saying that you'll need a Bible. Obviously, I guess most of you have got one. Some of you may not have. There are loads of different versions, loads of different styles, loads with different study aids in. Some people like the authorized version with its beautiful prose and ancient English language. Some people like the Message, which is bang up to date and in your face, although a bit American as well. You can get John's Gospel in Scouse. What more could you want? In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was God, and the Word was with God. And he was part and parcel with God, it says. Is that a word used down here, part and parcel? The Word was part and parcel with God. Get a Bible. You need to set time to read it. You know, your Bible's no good on the shelf or on the coffee table or somewhere you don't know where you put it. They reckon, someone said, that if you read the Bible 15 minutes a day, you'll read it in a year. So I've worked it out. If you skip EastEnders, which is 30 minutes, right, or Coronation Street, which is 30 minutes, or if you can't bear to do either of those things, one edition of the news. How many of us sit there and watch the news at 6 o'clock and then watch it again at 10 o'clock, just in case anything else has happened? It happens in our house too often. Let's skip one. Just watch one. Half an hour means we'll read the Bible twice in a year. But you see, the theme today is not really about speed reading or skimming. It's about meditation. It's about taking time to reflect. Maybe just one verse, as we've done this morning, as Derek has helpfully led us through. But by praying, by asking the Lord to speak to us, by asking, what is the Lord saying to me in my circumstances? You know, how does this help me in my circumstances? Maybe somebody else is on your mind. How? You know, what is the Lord saying to me about that other person and their situation? Is there a word here for them? Just recently, you know, I had this these funny turns and diagnosis, epilepsy and all that kind of stuff. You know all that story, I know. And loads of you prayed for me, which I'm really grateful for. One person actually gave me a scripture and said, here, take this with you when you go into the scanner. And I did. For I, the Lord, your God, for I am the Lord, your God, who takes hold of your right hand and says to you, do not fear, I will help you. It's powerful, isn't it? Powerful to speak into our lives. One of the traditions of our church, our brethren roots, is to have this time at the breaking of bread in our evening service, an opportunity to share what the Lord has been saying to us through his word, through scripture, this week. And yet often as not, we sit there in embarrassed silence, because the fact is none of us really has made the effort to see what the Lord is saying. I say that sweepingly. I know it's not true for everyone, but it's the way it appears sometimes. The older tradition, the promise box, I don't know if they still make them, whether you can still buy them, you can make your own. You know, take all the promises you can think of in Scripture, from God to you. Print them on a small card. Pick one out every day and carry it around with you. You know, when you put one in your wallet, put one in your purse, put one in your lunchbox, put one in, you know, wherever, in your pocket, so that when you get your money out, it's there. And you'll be reminded of God's promise to you that day. I remember when Billy Graham and Mission England and all that happened back in the mid-80s, that was a way that they taught us to learn scripture. You'd print a verse out on a piece of card and you'd carry it around with you to learn those scriptures. And maybe that's something we need to do more of. And maybe, as Derek again has intimated this morning, we need a bit more time, maybe once a week, maybe once a month, you know, maybe to take an hour or two. Maybe to do as Derek said and to keep thinking about those verses. Maybe to take an imaginative biblical meditation. What's that? I hear you say. Take a gospel, take a story of Jesus, and imagine yourself into the story. So Peter on the boat, he's been out all night, hasn't caught a thing, must be dead tired. Jesus comes along and says, come on, let's put your nets out. How does it feel to be Peter? You've just been out all night, you're crashed. And Jesus says, put your boat out. What are you thinking about, Jesus? How does it feel? And then you do put out, but why do you do that? Because why? Because Jesus is, what is he? You know, what's going on in your life with Jesus? You know, and then you catch these fish. What are you thinking? Boat's sinking. So many fish. But fish are flapping at your feet. The water's up to your knees. How does it feel? Who is this Jesus? What's going on? You fall to your knees and say, Lord, away from me, because I am a sinful man. How does that feel? What is Peter saying? Use these things to immerse yourself in the word of God and begin to feel the way it is. And perhaps sometimes just with others, maybe in prayer care groups, maybe with your prayer partners, from time to time to bring these words to each other, to encourage one another in the sharing of God's word in this way. Whatever, just do it. The question then is, do you want to live in the promised land and not in the wilderness? Then there's God's instruction. Do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it, and you will be prosperous and successful. Let's pray together.